I'd like to notice very quickly a couple of verses of Scripture that is recorded in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. The Lord says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Two major thoughts are found in those verses. Number one, negatively. God doesn't think and God doesn't act like you and I do. The other thought is positive. The way He acts and the way He thinks, His actions and thoughts are as far above ours as the heavens is the earth. I'm going to take just a few moments, and there's many ways that you could approach this, but I'd like to show you the way that the Lord brought into existence His natural family here in this world and show you that His ways are not our ways and His thoughts are not our thoughts. If it had been your responsibility to bring into this world a nation, a group of people through whom the Lord Jesus Christ would be born and live in this world, how would you have gone about doing it? Well, I want to show you that the Lord did it in some unusual ways. And to do that, I want to show you how differently He did it from the way that at least I would have thought about doing it. First of all, man is usually impressed with numbers. I have people all the time that tell me about how many acres they own, how big their farm is, how many cattle that they have. Sometimes in the business world, what a big company somebody has, what their gross is, how much they make on a yearly basis. And in the business world, lots of times big is beautiful, or big is good. But when it comes to God, and when God came about, or it came about that God was going to bring the Jewish nation to this world, we read over in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 2, these words: "Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him." God says, I started out with one man. I started out with Abraham. God in the Bible tells us not to despise the day of small things. And we read in the Scriptures where on many occasions God has used little things or insignificant numbers, small numbers, to bring about great things. For instance, in the case of Gideon, who faced the Midianites who were like grasshoppers for number. Now, if you've been in Gideon's place and it was your job to lead the battle against the Midianites and they were that numerous, how would you go about doing it? As far as I'm concerned, that 32,000 that he got together to start with looked pretty good. But God whittled it down. God kept whittling it down until he got to 300 individuals and gave them the victory on that occasion. There was a time when there was a great multitude that he was going to feed. And he just took a few loaves and fishes and multiplied them and blessed them to be used to feed God's people with. The Bible tells us we're not to despise the day of small things. You see, the key to it is not the numbers, but the power, the miracle working power of Almighty God. God was able to do what He purposed to do, and He was able to do it through one man, or at least beginning with one man and one woman. And I want to say this to you right now. There's a lot of people in this world that are really concerned about how small or how big the church is. In fact, I had somebody who lives right over in the Pleasant Plains community. He came and visited with us a few times, and he told me, he said, "We're not going to be back anymore." And I said, "Well, why?" He says, "Well, I'm looking for a church that has something for all the children, all the ages of my different children." And he says, "I'm looking for a church that's got a counseling service." And he went on and on with all the things that he wanted. And he says, "I want a specific group, that a church that's got a group. If something were to happen to my wife and I'm out of town, I'm away, that they could come and they could take care of her." And I thought to myself, well, we'd sure like to try to help you in that as much as we can. But he says, obviously, it's going to take a church a lot bigger than what you all are. Well, you know, in other words, we're not, almost as if we're not a church because we're not big enough. Let me tell you. And there's folks in this world that's impressed with the mega churches where they've got thousands and thousands of members. But that's not the New Testament pattern. What they're looking at is the first few chapters of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, where all the nations of Israel was gathered together there on the day of Pentecost. That's a transitional book. That's not typical for the New Testament church. When the persecution began to come upon the church, they were scattered all throughout the land. And began to establish churches. And there were small groups of worshipers that was all over the land. And that's been God's method. That's been God's way of blessing the church through years, many, many years. And I think God will continue to bless wherever His people gather together to honor and to worship His name. Not only are men impressed with numbers, but they also are impressed, in fact, almost obsessed with youth. I mean, when was the last time you heard of a beauty contest for middle-aged women or grandmas or something like that? We're just seem like we're so impressed with youth. But Abraham and Sarah were old when God began to work with them. Abraham was 75, she was 65, and then God waited 25 more years after He gave them the promise that they were going to have a son before that first son was ever born into this world. How would you like to have to start a family at 75, 65, and 75? In fact, it turned out to be 100, she was about 85, I think, when Isaac was finally born into this world. Now, God can use you, don't get me wrong, but God can also use old folks, and He did. We sometimes think we've got to have the young folks, but God can use the old as well, and He did as far as Abraham and Sarah was concerned. We, as human beings, tend to be impressed with speed, don't we? We want to get it done today. You notice you can't read the Bible and find out that God just doesn't seem to ever get in a hurry. Now, me, I want to get the job done, and I want to get it done as quick as I possibly can. That's just the way I'm built. That's why my wife and I don't ever go shopping together. I mean, the way that I shop is this. I look at all the catalogs, I look at all the prices, I find the store, I go get it, and I come home. That's my idea of shopping. My wife's idea of shopping is to go to every store, check out every item in every store that she's looking for, and usually come back to the first one and buy it there and then go home, and it takes a half a day to do it. God's not impressed with speed as much as we are. You know, I heard about a preacher the other day that were having something like a fellowship meeting in a large hotel up north, and this fellow preached one morning just before lunch. And they were putting it on the internet at the same time. I preached at one church one time where they were putting it on the internet at the same time I preached. And I wasn't that impressed with it. But anyway, because of this experience of this brother. But anyway, this man preached. And when he got back to his room to get ready to go to lunch, there was a fellow in Australia, halfway around the world, that had heard that sermon on the internet and had sent him a note. In fact, it wasn't a note, it was a letter of criticism, criticizing what he preached, and it hadn't been preached over 10 minutes before the person halfway around the world had heard it and sent a message back to him that he didn't like what he preached. Now, you're talking about fast, that's fast. In fact, it reminds me of an old boy one time when the trains first came to this country. Somewhere up around Atlanta, Georgia, he'd heard about it, so they got he and his buddy got on a buckboard and rode into town because they knew this train was going to be there that morning, and stopping at the station, and they wanted to see it. And he overheard a couple up there buying a ticket, and they were buying a ticket from Atlanta, Georgia, to a little town just across the line over in Alabama. And of course, there's an hour's difference in the time of those two stations. And but all he heard was that he says, "Well, what time do we leave?" And the man said, 10 o'clock this morning." Says, "Now, what time are we going to arrive?" He said, 10 o'clock this morning. And old boy went up there after they left, and he says, "I want to make sure I heard this right." did you say this train is leaving at 10 o'clock and going to get to Alabama at 10 o'clock? He said, that's right. You want a ticket? No, sir. I just want to be here to see that thing take off. You know, that's the way most of us are. We want to get it done right now. My wife was gone the other day, and it was unexpected. She didn't have any lunch fixed. I pulled out a TV dinner, and it was one of those kinds where you had to cook a lot. I couldn't believe it. That thing had to cook 12 minutes. I'm used to her having to make something already fixed. I just put it in there, warm it up. It takes maybe a minute to do it. And I thought, about, I got to wait 12 minutes. That's the way we are in America, isn't it? But you know what? God waited. He waited 25 years before he ever sent that boy. Isaac was born. And then Isaac was 40 years old. Before his firstborn was, really it was 40 years before he ever got married. I made that comment at Pleasant Plains one time, and David said, I sure am glad you said that. I think I got scripture now that Mallory can't get married till she's 40 years old. I said, I think you might be twisting that scripture just a little bit there. But anyway, it was 40 years before he got married, 20 more years before another child was born. It was 85 years before Jacob was ever born. It was centuries before Joseph and Mary ever came along. You cannot read the scriptures and not come to the conclusion that God does not get in a hurry. You and I do. When we feel like something's got to be done today, we ought to read this scripture again. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Man is fascinated by new things. I heard the other day about New York, I think it was, where the iPhone first went on sale. And they had such a long line, they knew how many phones they had to sell, and it was such a long line that there was a fellow came up, he knew that the line was longer than what they had phones. He went up and paid somebody at the front of the line $1,000 just to trade places with him in line, so that he could be one of the first ones to get an iPhone. That's one of those phones where you can look at who you're talking to. They have those things, far as I'm concerned. There was a commercial on TV, came on one night some time ago, and a man said, nobody uses their phone anymore just to talk. Brent looked at Josh, and they said, Daddy does. You know, most of the time, before I ever learn how to use my phone, it's already out of date. Well, man is fascinated and wants new inventions. But how did God do it? He did it the traditional old way. Man and woman came together and brought about this family. You could go on. We could go on and on with these kind of things. You know, men get caught up with celebrities. In fact, so many in America just worship celebrities. You know what a celebrity is, don't you? Somebody that works real hard to get real well known, and then when they get real well known, they wear sunglasses so nobody will recognize them. Don't make sense to me, but anyway, that's the way they do it. Man is impressed with celebrities. God just took a plain country folks, Sarah and Abraham, and used them to bring about this nation. Let me just close with saying a few things about a lot of religious folks and how they think. A lot of folks think that you got to choose the Lord in order to be saved, don't you? Don't they? What does the Bible tell us? What did the Lord tell His own disciples? He says, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you. How in the world somebody can get it in their mind that they're the ones that's got to choose a life when they're dead in trespasses and sins? It takes the life-giving voice of God to come to quicken them from death and sins to a life in Christ. The Lord's the one that does the choosing. Man in his mind thinks that he's got to act in order to be saved. Paul tells us in the book of Ephesians, for by grace are you saved, and goes on through faith, and that not of yourselves. He tells us it's not of ourselves. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. You ever known of anybody do something to get created? You ever known anybody do something to get born? Every illustration of how a sinner is saved or brought into relationship with God, the sinner is passive, resurrected. Resurrection, translation, all of those, man is passive and God is active. You see, salvation is not an activity on the sinner's part. It's an action of grace on the part of Almighty God. One last one, and I will close. A lot of us think the best way to get rich in this world is keep everything that we possibly can. What does God say? You want to get rich? Give it away. Give it. Give your life. Give your service unto Him. Give your money unto Him. And He says you'll be rich in the kingdom of God. Remember that little widow lady? Gave the last of what she had, or at least she gave that widow's mite. The Bible tells us that she was richer. God blessed her. God commended her more than any of the others, because all the others gave out of their abundance. But she gave out of her need. Don't you imagine after the Lord commended her, that woman went away rich that day? How wonderful it is to feel rich. I don't care how poor you might be, to be able to feel that you've got some of the riches of God in this life. God doesn't always think like we think. And sometimes when we get a little wayward in our thinking, we need to go back to this verse. My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. May God add His blessings to these few thoughts.